Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And this show emanates here from FEMA Region 9 in the captive republic of Maricopa County, where we have the most corrupt county government in the country. But we're doing our best to persevere, and we're trying to spread the message of freedom, the message of independence here along our airwaves. And by the way, our podcast is going bonkers. I see we're being featured on trending podcasts with Joe Rogan and Charlie Kirk, and I want to thank all of you for making that possible. It's certainly nothing I'm doing. It's our great guests, and it's our audience participation, so thank you. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Sarah Westall, and oh, is this such an important show. Excuse me. This show covers an issue or a series of issues that could actually help keep this republic alive. Now that the omnibus is passed and we're sinking farther, farther into the depths of poverty, this particular show is going to cover issues that can at least keep our liberties alive. This is so important. But before we join Sarah, we have to take care of a little bit of business. And do you trust Joe Biden to take care of your food needs in a crisis? And all the, let's put it this way, folks, your supply chain is now gotten a lot worse. Do you have enough storable food? Do you have water filtration? Do you know that they've taken down the grid in 8 locations in the last 2 weeks in beta tests using weapons? That means this is a planned activity. Do you have your food and water? Well, if you don't, let me invite you to investigate. Go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com, and check out the 25-year shelf life, the great special that's on there right now. They don't raise prices at MPS. They lower prices, and you can check that out. Also, too, water filtration available at waterwithdave.com. You need food and water. Water filtration that we offer is number one in the nation. The research shows it. You can find it. waterwithdave.com, foodwithdave.com. Those are our two most important sponsors, simply because you can't live without food and water. And then I would also add to this too. If you're going to suffer, let's suffer in comfort. Let's suffer in humor. Have you checked out our merchandise store? Yes, I gave in. After all these years, people said, you need to have a merch store, Dave. Well, we've got one now. DaveHodgesMerch.com. And we have all our favorite sayings on t-shirts, like you can't dodge the Hodge and freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and the coffee cups that you see on YouTube and our TV channel. They're all there. 10% off with the coupon code Dave10. And I decided to do it not because I wanted the hassle, because it is getting me to do more work. It's if it sparks conversation, maybe we can help wake more Americans up. I can't believe that we have three countries in South America on the verge of civil war. One's already done a coup d'etat against a communist leader who stole an election. And we sit here and let our elections be stolen election after election, our rights eroded one at a time, and we're doing nothing. And the South Americans are showing us what it takes to take back your government, and we're doing nothing. So anyway, where are these elements with pride? We need to really convince America it's time for dramatic action. And speaking of dramatic action, our guest, Sarah Westall, has done a tremendous job trying to fight for your freedom of speech. And there has been some significant developments in connection with her efforts with regard to Elon Musk. Now, I must say this as a disclaimer. I'm not an Elon Musk fan. I don't believe he cares about free speech. He wants his seat back at the world table that he has lost. He's not invited to conferences anymore. They're leaving him out. And this is his temper tantrum saying, this is what I'm going to release against you. And he hasn't released everything that he could. And he's using this as a bargaining chip. But nonetheless, let's take advantage of what he's done. And let's welcome Sarah aboard. Sarah, glad you're here. And I can't wait to get into this, because we can't win elections in America anymore. They're gone. The free election process is over. The Democrats control the judges. They control the process. But what we can control is free speech. And you're at the forefront of this. How is your lawsuit doing?
Well, we got a result back from the Ninth Circuit. So we're in the process now of figuring out what we want to do going forward. What we learned, unfortunately, is the Ninth Circuit is also captured. You know, we were very worried about that. But let me tell you what happened. They came back in lightning speed in 4 weeks, which is almost unheard of. And no judge, usually a judge writes up the complaint, but in this case, there was nobody that signed it, or nobody wrote it, or they all wrote it. We don't know. And it was censored at the Ninth Circuit. Google censored it. And they came back and said that they cited for Google, but they did not. It's not over. I mean, I have way more going on right now. So this is not necessarily bad news. It just means we're going to the next step, and we learned more in the process. But what they we know that they're captured, and there's so many things that they did. One is they also made it so that we can't amend, pretty much saying that not only do we side with Google, but you can't amend this because we can't see any amendment that would ever show that there was a collusion or coercion by the
So
government
they
against
have a
Google.
crystal ball against undiscovered facts, right?
Yeah, and so now with all this coming out, like right at they're on the same time, it's so obvious it's a cover up, right? They showed their true colors, but the other thing is they it's unpublished. So meaning that usually the unpublished isn't that odd. It's if there's law that's already well established, then they unpublish things. But in this case, it's not well established at all. It's brand new, and they made it unpublishable, meaning in that way we won. So Google can't use it against any other future case, and no, nobody can. Nobody can call on this case and say, well, this sets a precedent. It didn't set any precedent anywhere. It's very strange. And Google tried to, they talked to the court and they asked for it to be published and they got denied
Why? What
because they don't
what's your
want
guess?
it. Because this is all coming out and it's too obvious that it's fixed. And if somebody else, some other court comes up with them, I don't know. I mean, I think they just want the whole thing buried. That's my guess. They want the whole thing gone. And this is how they do it. And they don't want to be involved in it. I think they don't want to be involved in it. That's what our attorneys are saying. And so for us to win, we need, because we didn't have to prove anything. Our case was such that it wasn't for us to prove it. It was for us to be able to go to court or go and get discovery so that we could prove it. So we just had to show that it was plausible that they were coercing with the government. That's all we had to show. And so now it's like a complete farce because it's not plausible. I mean, we know with the stuff that tr or that Musk is putting out that the FBI actually paid Twitter to censor. So it's but since then, because we said we're going all the way and we will, whether we'll go with this case or whether we're going to, I'm working with more attorneys now. I have a whole marketing team. It's amazing how fast this is coming together. We have a website we're putting together that's called United for Free Speech, and we are going for the gusto. We're going to have, and you're going to speak at this, you don't know yet, March 24th through the 26th.
I am.
Yep.
Okay. Let me get my calendar out here.
We are lining up people. We haven't lined up many people yet, but we're going to. But we're going to do it in a very organized fashion. That is, we're going to get. It's going to be called the censored. It's people who have been censored, but it's issues that people need to hear. It's going to be a flipping tsunami that washes over the country that they don't even know what hit them. And but we're going to raise money for lawsuits and to fight this.
Where's this
And we're
at?
doing.
Where's this going to be
We're.
held?
It's going to be virtual because
Oh, I see. Okay.
we want to sell thousands and thousands of tickets and get donations from all over the place so that we can help save our country. We have a whole team of lawyers that are lining up. We're going to have high profile people like you, highest profile people we can get. We have a whole marketing PR firm that's going to get the people for us. And that have run governor races and all sorts of stuff. So we are in, and that's just our first event, but this will be, I'm organizing it and I'm one of the ones leading the organization, but we want to say this is a non-leader, kind of like Occupy Wall Street where they didn't have a leadership. We're just organizers. This is the leadership is everyone in the country. It's all of us united to fight this thing because if we don't, this is what I told Tom Rentz. He's leading the lawsuits and getting a whole team of lawyers together. And he says, and this is what I told him. I said, you know, we're winning on COVID, which we are. We're winning in the hearts and minds of people, and people are starting to learn about this and not taking the shot, and things are turning in our direction. But if we don't fix the free speech issue, everything is temporary. It's all temporary.
Yeah, there's two issues I want to throw together here, because I agree with you about the free speech issue, but there's another issue that's a corollary to it. If we don't have free and honest elections, you have the same deficit as having no free speech.
You're right. We have to have, and what you can't, it's a combination of all that, mm-hmm. right? It's a foundational element. The freedom of speech was our First Amendment, but fair and free elections was the foundation of the whole Constitution. So now you have the two most important things in our country being attacked. And we have to fix these things. I know you're right in Maricopa County, which has been the...
Ground zero.
It's ground zero. And I think there's other places that are just as corrupt, but yours is ground zero from a huge spotlight that we can make a difference at. I know you don't feel like there's much of a difference going on. I can't even believe Katie Hobbs is in charge of the election and running for governor and, you know, rigging it all at the same time.
She didn't just was in charge of the election via her Secretary of State position, but she actively used her position as Secretary of State to bend court rulings to her benefit as candidate of governor. Now, this is in violation of federal, state, and local law, and yet Carrie Lake's claims in this matter, she filed a 10-count lawsuit that'll conclude today. 8 counts were thrown out, and the judge ruled, oh, you can be the fox and guard the hen house. You can be Katie Hobbs and rule in your own election. That just shows you how corrupt Maricopa County is.
Well, and I'm starting to wonder. I mean, we saw the same thing with the Ninth Circuit. So we're wondering what's really going on here, because we're to the point where, you know, if our stuff doesn't work, then we got to do another. We've got to do some strategizing on how we take our country back, because we want to be peaceful. We don't want war. We don't want people to die. But if none of our tools work because they're so corrupt, then we have an obligation to take back our country in another way, because our tools for having our republic are corrupt. They're not working.
You know, how do I say this and not sound like a fruitcake, but God gave me insight that I don't think I could have arrived at on my own. And I want to share this with you, because I've been working with Pastor Sam Onnell. He's our Latin American expert on the Common Sense Show, and he's always been great. And what we're seeing in Latin America right now is one communist dictator already deposed because of a fraudulent election. People rose up and said enough. In Brazil, the military's in a standoff with the elected government that won by corrupt Dominion voting machines. And in Peru, they've won. And in Argentina, the vice president, Cristina Fernandez, is under house arrest, and her husband is now going to be charged, and they could overturn that election too. Here's what I've discovered. Long story short here. In America, we have almost 2.5 centuries of continuity of government. And so we've gone through good leaders and bad leaders and scandals and corruptions, but we've always survived and moved on to do great things as a nation. But now we're at the end, I believe, of our nation. And what America doesn't realize is where we're at on the historical paradigm. We have lost our nation. There is no coming back. And see, in South America, the difference between a South American activist and an American activist is a matter of historical perspective. They, in that continent, have never known continuity of government. They've never known government free of scandal. They've never known government that represents the people. And so these people, when they hit a situation like they have in these three countries I mentioned, they go from 0 to 60 psychologically very quickly, because they know the problem's not going to solve itself. Unfortunately, in our country, I explain a lot of our apathy because I believe America just thinks this is going to pass and things will go back to normal. And it's a huge difference in psychology. The South American countries are winning, and we're getting our ass kicked.
Well, okay, so now what is the difference? Now, their courts are actually working in some way. And is it because the people have decided that there's nothing, the people in the court systems have decided they're with the people?
Well, let's put it this way. There's intimidation of judges on both sides. There, Cristina Fernandez was almost assassinated. A man walked up, put a gun in her face, pulled the trigger, but the gun misfired. And I'm certainly not thinking that was a good thing. But what I'm saying is these people take action. They get into the streets. The Brazilian government that got elected said, "We'll throw you in jail if you put anything on Facebook, if you get into the streets and protest this election." And it didn't matter. Millions did it anyway. And the military is siding with the people.
That's right.
In this country right now, first of all, the establishment owns our military, and we're run by General Milley, who says if we ever go to war with China, we'll let them know when and where we're going to attack. He said that in the Afghan hearings about the debacle of the withdrawal. Our military is controlled by wokesters. They have disarmed our military to the point where it's not functional. We've sent many weapons to Ukraine, to where we can't defend ourselves. We've bankrupted our nation over Ukraine and other areas. And there's no coming out of this. But see, Americans don't see that. They don't see, like the people in Brazil see, this is the end of freedom if we let this guy named Lulu take over. Here in America, they don't understand if we let Biden continue in office, it's the end of America as we know it. Because Biden is serving the World Economic Forum to
That's
take
right.
this nation down, just like the European nations. They're all following the same script.
That's right. And that's why we're fighting. And well, you know, to the fact that I have all these people lining up and people are willing to do whatever it takes means that there are people who get that point.
Not
There
enough.
are people that, but not enough.
Not enough.
And you know, I don't know why COVID hasn't been such an eye opener. They're still selling it as if it's safe and effective. It's all over our airwaves. And I just, how can people still believe it at this point? I don't know. And I don't know if more people need to die before people will get it or what, but there is a lot of, there are a lot of people getting it. Now we have to talk about Elon Musk. And I actually have a lot of the same feelings that you do. I thought it was just at first, I thought it was a complete smoke screen, but he's released so much right now that, for example, saying that the FBI was paying Twitter to censor. He's released so much good information now that it's no longer just a smoke screen, even if it is a fight amongst the higher uppers, you know, the top of the cabal, because he clearly was in the top of the cabal, even if that's what that is, and he's fighting and doing his thing, and he's throwing a tantrum or he's trying to negotiate his way, you know, because just like Gates and Bezos put that company together to compete with Neuralink, right? So they're going after everything he has, and so maybe he's either seen his way, which I doubt. I think he's thrown a tantrum, and maybe our enemy is their enemy, or their enemy is our friend when we're in a situation like this. And so I'm happy with what he's done. I mean, I was going around saying this is a smokescreen for a while. Until I started seeing some of these latest releases, where I'm like, well, it's not just a smokescreen anymore because he's released too much.
There's one thing he hasn't done, though. And see, I agree with you up to a certain point. I'll give you one example. Here was an example of his motivation. They recently had, about 4 months ago, a electric car company conference worldwide. They even invited a company that only had produced 60 electric cars, and they left Tesla out of the conference. So, okay, and then we got the Starlink issues, and so he's been denied a seat at the decision-making table. So here's the deal. He has gone on a rampage exposing the FBI, Christopher Wray, past Twitter executives. I mean, I think they're liable to court action if we had a judicial system.
Well, he's exposed, not to interrupt you, but he's exposed the pedophile link with
I agree.
his,
I agree. But
yeah.
here's what he hasn't done. See, this is why I say he's not all in for free speech. He's leveraging for his own position. What he has left out is whose election was specifically affected, who were the principal parties involved, who could be charged, prosecuted, indicted, and put in jail.
Names.
Yeah, he has left that out intentionally because I believe that's his trump card. And if he doesn't get his seat back at the table, then I think he'll go all the way, or they will kill him. One of the two will happen.
Or he'll get killed because he does say that his life is in danger. So I think there's a lot going on there too. But like I said, what he's done is enough that we can open up inquiry into all sorts of things. That's enough where our case, it's so obvious that ours is a cover-up now.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of parallels to your case, One of the complaints that Carrie Lake made in one of her 10 counts was that Katie Hobbs misused her position as Secretary of State to go to Twitter to have Carrie Lake's political tweets taken down. Now,
yeah,
that's election interference to the highest degree. And you know what? This judge, Peter Thompson, you communist, I hope you're listening because you're going to get a copy of the tape. This judge thinks that's perfectly fine. There's no violation there.
That's what I'm saying. Our legal system has we have some serious issues that we need to resolve.
Yes.
And if these aren't resolvable, if we don't have a judicial system anymore that follows the law and is, you know, they might have their own political whims, but they have to follow the law, and they just are completely ignoring things. And so if that's and covering stuff up, and if that's what we have, and there's just like I said at the beginning, if we're sitting in that situation, but I think with that's why we have to win politically. This is our strategy. We have to win politically. We have to win legally, and we have to win PR wise. So we have to get past this mind control that everybody's under. This is why we're doing what we're doing. We have to get in the hearts of the minds of the people, including the military folks. And we have to win on all three fronts. It's not anymore about winning just legally, because they don't care about if we don't have the PR in the legal part, or if we don't have the PR in the political part one, then we can't win in the courts. We need to fix that. By the way, our country cannot be under this situation and survive. But as it sits right now, the rules of the game is that we have to win on all three fronts to win. And that's what they did to our country right now. They rigged it to the point where we have to fix all three. We have to force them. We have to force their hand through political, through PR, through the media, the independent media, force the political class to then force the judicial system. That's what we're talking about right now. It's completely wrong. It's completely anti-American, but that's the situation we're in.
That's a big burden.
It is a big burden, but that's what we have. That's our reality. And I mean, if you're going to play basketball, you're a basketball coach, a super basketball coach, winning everything kind of basketball coach. If you're going to play basketball and you're going to strategize, you have to look at the big, you have to look at the whole court. You have to look at everything that's going on. And that's what we're dealing with.
Well, I totally agree with you. Someone asked me, I spoke at the Arizona Tea Party last night, and I was asked, why are the judges so thoroughly wrong and intentionally wrong? I'll give the example, like the Secretary of State candidate, Mark Fincham, his lawsuit was thrown out. Not because he didn't pass Rule 8, you know, to avoid summary judgment. The judge said, you did not prove your case in your filing. Well, that's not where you prove your case.
That's exactly what happened with ours.
Yeah, you prove your case when you go to trial. And so what I told them was this. What is the goal of a judge to move up to the next judgeship? Who gets you there? Unknown politicians, known and unknown, who will appoint you. So these people are ruling the way they think they're supposed to rule, so they will get appointed to higher judgeship positions. It's the whole system. That's why I've known this for some time. That's why when I vote, I don't care who the judge is, I vote out every incumbent. Unfortunately, most people just rubber stamp them.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. And I think you're just proving my point about what we have to do, because these judges are, they're not judges of courage and character. We have judges that are political animals, and we ran into the same issue. It has nothing to do with how good our case is. They wanted us to prove it. We needed a smoking gun to prove it in order to be able to go to court to prove it. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
It's a catch-22, yeah.
Yes, it is. And that's what they're doing in Arizona right now. And so we have to deal with the cards that were laid right now, and we have to do it. Or we do some kind of other kind of revolutionary acts. And I'm not ready to do other revolutionary acts and give up on our system quite yet. But if they keep trying to kill people and we can't get anywhere, they're going to leave us with no option.
I said the same thing last night. to a group of people, yeah, to a group of Maricopa residents who've had enough. And I said to one guy was saying, well, he was talking getting the guns out and doing this and that. And I said, well, I need to make my position clear here. I'm not advocating for violence. But I said, there does come a time when all options disappear and purges are used to silence the people who will not capitulate. And I said, at that point is when you get out the guns.
Well, because we won't have a choice.
But
We will
I
not
think
have a
there's things
choice.
that we can do prior to that. It's not self-defense violence, which I would be in favor of if it comes to that. What I'm talking about here is we now need to start looking at the civil disobedience card that causes them the most consternation.
That's right. I think you're right. Well, we always needed to do that with COVID. And if they ever try to pull more stunts with COVID, then we have to have a mass disobedience. We just in mass, we don't do what they tell us to do, period. And I think with other things, we have to look at that too, because if they're blatantly against just natural law, basic law, then we have a obligation to not do what they're saying. We just have an obligation to everyone. When it's wrong, we have that obligation. Do you agree? I mean, I think. Yeah, I mean, we,
I totally
yeah.
agree. There's a deal. I live in rural Maricopa County, and the growth is approaching us, and the growth is reckless. It's going to use up all our underground water. It's absolutely terrible what the county is doing. This county is so depraved. It's unbelievable. But I've been out of state quite a bit, and so unfortunately, what probably should have been mine to lead, because I successfully fought John McCain for property rights several years ago, and I know how to organize it. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying when I taught social psychology and sociology, one of my class projects was organize a protest. I know this subject in and out. Let me give you an example of what I told someone last night in this movement they should be doing. They said, well, we've gone to the planning and zoning. That hasn't worked. We've gone to the supervisors. That hasn't worked. And I said, have you gone to the home field offices where they're selling homes? No. What will we do there? I said, everyone who drives up gets a flyer on their car talking about in 5 years you won't have any water. You're buying dead land. And I said, and they'll call the police on you and you'll be on private property and there's not a damn thing they can do to you. And this guy looked at me like, what the hell? Yeah. But here's the deal. People don't understand. Here's my point. People don't understand how to apply pressure points. So in other words, if you go to the homeowners and you're destroying their business, you're killing home sales, which is your enemy right now. And you're doing that, and then the rumors start, and then the rumors expand. Okay, then you begin to win. Now you force the other side to sit down with you and listen. But until you demonstrate power and leverage,
That's right.
no one is going to listen to you.
And they've mastered that. That's what they have. I mean, frankly, that's what they've mastered. We have to play the rules of the game as they've constructed them. And we have to know the world, unfortunately, the world is a blackmail system. That's their, we said it. That's their currency. And you're saying that's essentially in a different kind of way. You're blackmailing them through power because they don't have another choice other than to come to you and talk. And that's the only thing that works. Now, that is a lot less, that's not anywhere near as bad as what they do. When I'm talking blackmail, I mean, they do a lot of bad stuff. This is the innocent blackmail. But I'm telling you, that's their currency and it's the only thing they know.
And I know,
Unfortunately.
but here's your problem. With this Peter Thompson, I'm going to organize activities against him. I'm going to make him the number one villain in Maricopa County if he rules the way I know he's going to rule tomorrow morning. And I'm not going to do anything illegal. Nothing's going to come of harm to his family. Not going to dox him. But he needs to be publicly protested. He needs to be on the tip of everyone's lips. Everyone needs to speak his name constantly as the symbol of corruption in Maricopa County
That's
because
right.
he had the power to reverse this and he is showing his true colors. And this is the type of thing we need to do. Unfortunately for you don't have that leverage over the Ninth Circuit because you're removed by geography.
Well, that's right. And yeah, we're refiguring this out. You know, the Elon Musk thing, all that coming out has really made them look stupid, I think. It's really obvious that they're a fixed organization. And, you know, there's people on all sides of the aisle that are coming forward. I mean, for God's sake, you have Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss who are putting this stuff out. Those guys are the all lefties. You know, I mean, you have everybody in this country moving towards this direction. You have the leader of their or their side, the leaders of their side who are turning on them. You might not have the politicians, but you sure have the people who are in the spotlight of the media who are.
Yeah. I had a dream one night. This is, I don't know if this is divinely inspired or not, but I had a dream one night. And I dreamed, and this is not really my MO, but I had a dream. I formed a group called the American Kong, C-O-N-G, in honor of the Viet Cong. And what our mission was, we had a mission, no violence, okay, but we didn't shop any corporate store. We had all our money out of the banks. We told Biden to go to hell with the digital currency plan he has. This is all in the dream, and I don't remember a lot of the dream. I think it was one hell of a long dream. And I woke up, and I'm thinking, this is absolutely what needs to happen. And I've started actually talking about that. We need to not shop their corporate stores. We need to get into monetary systems that are outside their control. We need to just say, we're not voting in your elections. We know they're corrupt, and that becomes our mantra. It's a pointless to vote in an election now. And people, you know, Charlie Kirk will tell me, he'll say, Dave, you're wrong. We need to keep fighting for da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How many times are you going to keep doing the same thing, Charlie, and getting the same result? The elections are rigged because the courts are rigged. And the lower level people in the counties and so forth, they know they can get away with cheating because no judge will ever strike them down. And so this is what we're up against. And what we need to do now is be outside their system, outside their control. And that's only a first step. That's just
what is
posturing
happening?
For what's
next. Let me ask you, what is going on in the hearts and minds of the people of Arizona? Because she should have won in a landslide down there, from what I understand. And people know that. And so now you got this gross person who is supposedly the governor. What's going on in the hearts and the minds of the people?
They don't know. I'll say this. They had to cut off the public comment before the county board of supervisors. And they even had their own election officials speak out against their corruption. It was absolutely incredible. Three election officials came out and said, you're corrupt. I witnessed the corruption and you're doing nothing about it, which means you're in favor of it. It was pretty dramatic. I would say this, where you might have had 20% of the people in 2020 say, yeah, the election was stolen. I say today you probably have 40 to 50% who would acknowledge it was stolen.
That's it?
Yeah. But I would say that's enough to change things.
But here's the problem. How can it not be 100% or at least?
Because
I know there's idiots, but how can it not be majority, the vast majority?
Because as long as people wake up tomorrow and can drive on the street and they get to go watch their favorite football team, they think life is normal and we're just going through some difficult times. It's going back to the South American psychology. Americans have not felt enough pain to understand that things are about to get really, really bad. The entire election process is under the control of the globalists. And there will never be another election that they target. And this is what, when people understand that, then they say, okay, well, what does that mean for me? See, in South America, they know what it means. It means prison, death by hit squads, political suppression of all types. They understand this. Starvation, they get it. They get it down there. Here in America, we don't get it yet. It's not going to be until there's absolute total chaos will the people rise up. And then I have to wonder, will it be too little too late?
Well, just how many people are going to die before people start to wake up, and how much blood has to be spilled?
Well, I can even write the next step that these people are going to take. If there is continued unrest in this country, they will introduce another pandemic. And I've looked at some of the state pandemic laws. Arizona is just absolutely amazing. If you just have a sniffle, they can confine you. And I do believe that they'll go for a purge of confinement under disguised medical reasons.
Well, that's what they have used in the past too. So there's precedent for that. But I would say that we need to make sure that doesn't happen. I know they're doing all those what do you call it? They're running that other agenda. The trial. What do you call the medical trial that they did before COVID? They're running another simulation.
Oh
They're doing
yeah,
that too. Did you cover that?
they're running a live fire drill with Bill Gates. Yeah, you're
Yeah,
right.
Bill Gates. I had a person who MK Ultra, and she had about 200 different personalities. She was in the kill program. She was in the what do you call it? The sex, the blackmail, sex blackmail program. She's older now. She worked really hard to get out of that system and to deprogram herself, and she's, pretty much there. We're gonna do another. We did a 2-hour show, and we're gonna do another one. I wanted to get to some of these details, but she said that Bill Gates is a classic MK Ultra. Now, MK Ultra, the program they claim was shut down, they renamed it. It just went darker. There's way too many witnesses that have come out talking about this program. I have psychologists that have talked about it with me. I've had victims. I've had all sorts of people. So we know the program still exists. The thing is that a lot of these leaders, I asked her, can you tell when you look at leaders, can you tell if they've been part of this program and whether they're programmed? And she says most of them are.
What does she say the symptoms are? Because I think you can too.
Yeah, well, we didn't get into too many of the details. We were talking about Bill Gates and how he, when he was in court, he was shaking back and forth like a child. That's one of them. And they are, I don't know what the symptoms are. I'm going to ask her that point blank in the next show. She was talking more about Bill Gates, and I want to dive into that more. What do you think the symptoms are?
Well, first of all, I can give you a common origin. Many of them come out of the Young Global Leaders Program with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. And I would use as a poster child to describe the symptoms. And I've had this eerie feeling for years. This isn't something that I've just made up here on the spot as I'm interviewing you. This is something I've actually talked about. If you look at Jacinda Ardern from New Zealand, the Prime Minister for New Zealand, she is evil personified. She's disconnected from emotional affect. In other words, if she's talking on a subject, her emotion doesn't seem to match the content of what she's talking about. There's a disconnection there, and that's a sign of someone who's mind controlled. The other thing you get into are physiological symptoms. And one of the things that I've noticed about a lot of these people who I think are under the influence is they don't maintain normal eye contact with people. They have a faraway look, and it's almost like an evil, blank, devilish stare. And I know what I'm saying here is not terribly scientific, because what I'm saying, it's my perception. When I see these kinds of looks in people, detached, lack of emotional affect, all these other things I just mentioned, I see a commonality with some of these world leaders, and it's like they impose programs on their people that make no sense, and they don't care if it makes sense. They're detached. They're just like following orders. I mean, they're following orders regardless of consequence. And the New Zealand Prime Minister is the number one example I would point to. But also, the French President Macron, he's one of them. And looking into the, I'll give you an example here in Phoenix. This is how far down Klaus Schwab reaches. Kate Gallego, the Phoenix mayor, is a young Global Leaders Program graduate. And she is evil can be. And she has this faraway stare, emotional detachment. You could never connect with her. You could spend 2 hours talking to her, and you'll never have an emotional connection. And that's the same thing with the New Zealand Prime Minister. So it's basically their lack of ability to connect with their emotion and their intellect together. And I think this is part of the mind control. They get them to separate emotion and conscience and guilt and so forth from their
Well,
actions.
they split their
That's what I'm
personalities.
talking
So,
about, exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, and so they have a personality that might have emotion, but that's not the one that takes over when they're implementing these crazy agenda items. And they're just locked away. And I don't know how, the question is, how do they maintain that person for that long of a period of time while they're
Keyword
leading?
assimilation. This is something I know a little bit about.
Well, but because they'll do something that's awful, how do they keep their other personality who isn't awful from coming in every so often?
It's possible for someone who's like a Manchurian candidate. They can maintain normal behavior until they enter a trigger area. And a trigger area can be situational that'll put them in a different mindset, or it could be a keyword that puts them in a different mindset. And they revert back to their programming. That actually came out with literature from Dr. Jolly West on the Manchurian candidate programs. So that's one thing they can do. When I see this New Zealand Prime Minister, though, she never has a sense of normality. I've never seen her interact with it in a normal, human, compassionate fashion. But there are people that can flip back and forth. And I'll give you one example in America here, and people will say, "Oh, yeah, Hillary Clinton." She vacillates between the two extremes.
Well, the evil extreme is absolutely incredible. So one of the things that you think about is how can somebody be that? We know that they're sociopaths, that sociopathic personality in there. Her dad was very abusive. She came from an abusive.
Yes.
So did Elon Musk. He said that his father was the most evil person he's ever met. So he comes from that cabal, and I had a whistleblower tell me that they saw him at an event where he was a child being programmed and doing things. Now, I can't vet that because it was a person who was in the MK Ultra program that told me that. So just that, you need to take that for what it is, because but I could see that happening with so many of these people because they need to control, especially with the where he was at. Elon Musk, they're having him do the top of the top stuff. They don't allow that with just somebody they can't control. It just doesn't work that way.
He's not mind controlled. Elon Musk is capable of independent thought.
Well, I'm not saying that he was part of that programming from what my whistleblower person said. Now, I don't know what that means. I'm just telling you.
Is she saying he was programmed himself?
No, he was at an event kind of thing, and he wasn't programmed. He wasn't being programmed. He was at an event where they were initiating the people who were born in 1971. And he's one of them. It's their weird cult religion stuff that they do.
Yeah, I don't suspect he's MK Ultra. I'm talking about Elon Musk. He's motivated by self-interest and greed. And I don't think the other side thought they would ever have to do this to him because he controls so much wealth and they control what he controls. They probably figured they could control him through the wealth. But he clearly has had enough. He's not willing to take a back seat at the order of the new. Well, let's put it, I want to change gears. I want to give you something that I have thought, and I know this sounds crazy, but Genesis 6. I think it's possible we're dealing with two different sets of DNA on this planet. And let me explain before you say, "Oh, Dave, you've lost it." If you go to Genesis 6, the fallen angels came here. They were cast down from losing the war, Satan's war. One third of the angels come to the earth. They intermarried with earth women. This is all biblical, and it continues. This story continues in substrates up into the book of Revelations. And I have to tell you, I wonder myself. When you look at the Rothschilds and people like this, are they of a different DNA? And I'll tell you what made me start to consider this. I knew about the biblical aspects of this for a long time, but I didn't actively act on it cognitively. But I am now, because what did the vaccines attack? Our DNA.
Well, they're from what I understand, they're trying to upgrade us for some reason.
Or
That's
destroy us.
or destroy us.
95% of us are slated for extermination if you look at the globalist literature. In fact, Harari even came out and said we need a major mass extinction event. He said that about 4 months ago, the number two guy at the World Economic Forum. What I'm wondering here, Jesus says in the Bible that there would be no one left alive if he did not return. And later, other places in the Bible, it says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness. And when I start to add all this up, so people think, well, Dave's lost his mind. But now that you're listening to why I'm processing this way, I'm wondering if this isn't just good old-fashioned good versus evil. This is the book of Revelations playing out. We're on the edge of the tribulation, and the other side wants to destroy God's creation. In fact, I'll give you one more quick story. Vance Davis, ex-NSA, 30-year friend of mine. Vance Davis told me in his NSA training, and he told me this in 1992. He said that we were taught good guys fought the bad guys out there in the universe. The bad guys lost. They were sent here. The bad guys want to capture the human soul. They were unable to do it, so now they're trying to morph human beings. He said this in 1992, 10 years before the word transhumanism came into vogue. He's
Why
telling me
did
the story 10 years in advance of
Okay, Dave,
transhumanism.
why did we get to get stuck with them? Why did they come here?
Well,
I mean,
if you
why did they come
believe
somewhere
that,
else?
yeah, if I've read, I don't know if this is true, but let's just assume the planet Astra was orbiting between Mars and Jupiter and it got destroyed in that war. This might have been the nearest habitable planet.
And so they had to come here.
Yeah,
Well,
like I
I
said, I'm looking for explanations that would explain the insanity that we're experiencing. Because right now, do you not agree the people who are running the world, or they think they're running the world, are doing things that are contrary to human benefit?
I think that it's so insane that you have to start looking at other things.
That's why I've done that, exactly.
It's so absurd. You know that they're insane, but why? And can it just be human nature? I mean, usually the simplest example, or the simplest reason is what's really happening. You know, it
Exactly.
doesn't always have to be hard, but I don't know, because these guys are so insane. I don't, I, 'cause it just doesn't seem natural. It just seems, you know, you keep just shaking. I keep just shaking my head saying, how did we get into this situation? This is incredible. But we were there with the Nazis. They did the same thing during Nazi Germany, where they were trying to wipe out huge amounts of people. You can get a small sect of a cult that gets into power. It's a cult that got into power that affects everybody else. There is something that can happen with that. And they have too much power in a small concentrated hands with high technology. And I do think there's other things going on, but that could be from a people standpoint. There's just a lot of that too.
What's come out with Hillary Clinton? She's a fourth degree coven witch.
Oh yeah, well,
The
we've known that
more
for a
that
while,
but
right?
the more see we process these people and really look at who's calling the shots, then you start getting into these spiritual aspects. And that's why I'm saying I'm not going to sit here and say today I can tell you the end result of everything that's going on and who's versus who and how we're deceived. But my eyes, I feel like the veil's been lifted. And I'm because let me put it this way. If I were of a different DNA from a fallen angel, and my goal is to destroy God's creation and revenge, and I can't get the soul, transhumanism is what I would do. And in transhumanism, you have some people upgraded, they become your slaves, and the rest you destroy, and you live immortally because you've mastered singularity, man and machine together. That's
Well,
what I think we're looking at here with transhumanism.
I've heard too that they're jealous, because you've heard they're jealous of humans, because
Yes.
humans have a soul
Right.
and they don't. They don't live forever. We do. And they're jealous of us and how we are, and they want to capture us and destroy us. And
And
that's what I've
Jesus
heard.
said if I didn't return, no one would be left alive.
Well, and I also think that this is where I differ from a lot of people. I think Jesus is in the heart and minds of all of us, and that he will return through us, and that we have to realize that he's part of us, and that we make it happen with him returning through us. If we don't have Jesus in our hearts and minds, we're not good people. We're not spiritual people. We're corrupt animals. Then we're going to die. But if we don't become people who understand what the word is and what it means, why we're supposed to be that, the tools of that they gave us tools to live and respect each other and to love each other and to live in harmony and joy. If we don't understand that, we will die for sure. So from my standpoint, I think that that's what he meant by it, because we have to get that back in the hearts and the minds of people everywhere. Otherwise, we will die.
Be in the world, but not of the world. And, yeah, and I go back to the dream I had, where we totally mm-hmm. separate from Earth society in its present form. And I think the Amish have really shown us the way. You know, I think spiritually they're light years ahead of the rest of us, because they know they can't play the game with the evil without becoming evil.
And maybe that is it. You know, I don't really... I like a lot of what the Amish do, but I don't. I think we can create even our own. You know, we can create what our values are, and we can. I think the American Revolution, the American Constitution, we did something amazing, and we just have to recapture that. And maybe we have to recapture it in pieces. You know, if we can't get it all the way, we're going to have to recapture it for just parts of society, maybe certain cities, certain states.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the Constitution was divinely inspired, and we stepped away from God at various junctures of our 20th century existence, and I think that we're paying the price for it. And I said this to the group I spoke to last night. I said, we don't have the means to take our country back. They control everything. I said, but they don't control God. They don't control our spirituality and the power that comes from that. And I said, that's what we need to tap into. And I, for me, you know, I want to separate from these entities as much as I can. And even if my genetic theory of Genesis 6 is totally bogus and incorrect, what I am correct about is this is a fight against good versus evil. And I don't think we can.
I don't know
win.
How you can. Yeah. I don't know how you can debate that, because anybody that hurts children like they do.
I know.
These people, there's a line they crossed. I was just talking to the woman who's doing our marketing. She's just amazing, and she'll be known pretty soon as we come out with all this stuff. But she, I said, you know, when I learned what was going on to the children, that was when a red line was crossed for me. I couldn't unlearn what I learned, and that was it. I had to fight, because we can't have a society like this and be human.
No.
This is not human. This is, it's so beyond what we're capable of having a civilized society if this is what's going on in the background.
I know. You hit the nail on the head when you said the crimes against children. And see, again, the Bible's very explicit. Better to tie a millstone around your neck than harm a child. And this is what we're facing as people who have no conscience. You know, I cannot believe our hour is almost gone.
Is it really? I could talk for hours.
You know, here's what we're going to do. Because first of all, we need to promote this conference. I'm going to have you on in the next week or two, and we're going to promote that conference and start talking about it, building it up. But I think we have unfinished work here as well, too. So we have about 90 seconds left, and you've got a million things going on. People need to follow what you're doing, so tell them how to do it.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. And first of all, congrats on your podcast going through the roof. I'm really proud of you. You're doing great work. Okay, so they can find me at sarahwestall.com. My website is really doing a lot better. I'm in the top. I've just reached 19,000 website in the country.
Right,
so
right.
I'm that's for being completely shadow banned. That's actually pretty good. So it's growing, and there's a lot of articles. There's a lot of stuff there. You can find my show there as well, but a lot of other articles. I have different journalists that I post and work with, and including yours. I'll post some of your articles there, and things that are on the front line, the very front of what I think people need to know. I can't cover everything, but there's a bulk of stuff there and things you probably won't find elsewhere that are there, and very focused, laser focused on bringing our country back and protecting yourself.
Yeah, I was asked about 6 months ago, What journalist do you think is the most affected by shadow banning? And I said, first of all of them have been canceled. But I said, of those who haven't been canceled, the one whose message needs to be heard a lot is the most shadow banned. And I named you. I think you're
Well,
the number
thank
one
you.
shadow banned person in America. I truly do.
I was my website was taken down by GoDaddy, by the Federal Crimes
Oh, I
Unit.
know, I know. I remember very well. You were such a victim. But I get your newsletter, and people need to subscribe to Sarah's newsletter, and you can get that by going to her site. And I read your newsletter, it comes out, and it contains in-depth analysis of everything we've talked about on this show with regard to the power structure, the censorship, and everything. It's so good. But unfortunately, we are flat out of time. Sarah, I'm going to be in touch with you right after Christmas. We need to do a part two on this because I think we left a lot on the
Absolutely.
table.
Well, have a Merry Christmas,
You
Dave,
too.
and you deserve it. Be peaceful and have love with your family, and I
Exactly.
hope you have everything.
Same
So,
to you and your great family. Take care.
okay. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.